first reading this morning is taken from Acts chapter 10, verses 44 to 48, and it can be found on page 1105 of the Pew Bibles. While Peter was still speaking those words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from John chapter 15, starting at verse 9, and it can be found on page 1083 in the Church Bibles. John chapter 15, verse 9. "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
What a marvellous passage from John. Steve's going to come and speak to us, so let's pray for Steve now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Steve. We thank you for his love for you. We thank you for his love for your word. And we pray now that you would anoint him afresh as he comes to speak. Give him words. Take the words that you've given him, and may they touch our hearts as we open ourselves to you. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Simon. Morning, everyone. If you're here last week, and quite a few of you were, we looked at the seven, at the start of the service, we looked at the seven I am statements that Jesus made about himself. And we were trying to remember all of them. And of course, they're around the church on the banners. Those of us that know that they're there. But the most talked about for us would be, without doubt, "I am the vine," or "I am the true vine." And as a church gathering, we have taken these words to heart. In fact, our whole reason for being church has been wrapped around this vineyard statement, this beautiful verse about vines and fruit and pruning. And we will never forget this statement because it's etched on the door as we walk into the building. And I can remember when the first time that door was there, like many of you, I stopped in my tracks to look at it, to wonder at the beauty of that door. And knowing, like the last 60 odd years, we're a church like any others, we always have jobs done on the cheap, because that's what we do. And we had repairs many years ago when holes in the wall were filled with ready-mixed concrete. And we painted the walls with B&Q emulsion. That was in the past. We know better now. And of course, we had the donation from the Weber family to enable that door to be installed. And it's great that Miriam, one of my main people, has done the etching, the actual drawing on the door itself, which, of course, adds to the beauty in my mind. A few years ago, we looked deeper into the whole subject of church being the trellis and the vine. Do you remember that? The trellis being about structures and buildings and organization. The vine being about how we tell people about Jesus, how we bear fruit, how we grow in our knowledge and love for God, how we mature in our faith. And this morning, I could have plagiarized one of Lee's excellent talks about the trellis and the vine and walked off the platform and gone for a coffee, and that would be it, been it. Not a bad idea. But as with all well-known parts of Scripture, we would be wise to return to these stories and events to see what God is saying to us today. To my mind, to see what God is saying when the dust has settled, when the excitement has calmed down a bit. And these beautiful words of Jesus will always speak to us. In the next 100 years or so, those words will be visible for us every week, every Sunday. In John's Gospel from chapters 13 to 17, we have detail of Jesus' last 24 hours before he was arrested. We have 5 chapters that seem to be written in slow motion. The awful events just go one after the other. One writer on John's Gospel said, "These 5 chapters of John's Gospel provide an intimate memoir of Jesus' most anguished evening." And it is indeed a moment in history when Jesus reveals the full extent of his love. That's his love for his disciples, who he was most concerned with at the time, and his love for his Father, and his love for you and me. God speaks through familiar words, and we ask that God will keep us open to hear his voice, to deepen our understanding. My experience is that God often speaks to me with familiar words. Whether I take any notice is another matter. And as I read these verses again, 2 words stand out. Well, there's 3 words, actually. Being a good Anglican, there has to be 3. So there are 3 words. So I've stretched one into 2. So we have remain or abide and joy. Remain or abide and joy. If you're here last week, Arthur spoke about abide. He mentioned abide. But I'm going to mention it again. I hope you don't mind. And it would be easy for us to reach for our dictionaries and read definitions and synonyms of remain and joy and leave it at that. I'm quite proud that I said synonyms without getting it wrong. I thought I might say Simeon or something else, cinnamon. Remain and joy. And we could also open our Christian teaching books. I hope you have a book at home on John's Gospel. We can recommend some good books that really open up John's Gospel. It's a great gospel to open up. We could turn to those books and see what they say about remain or abide and joy. I recommend that you do look up in your books. What is remain and joy saying? So first remain. Beyond definitions, the whole business of remaining in Jesus can mean different things. And we have to examine how this manifests itself in us. We've all got a different world experience. We process these sort of things differently. And sometimes our feelings and emotions get involved. And usually when we look into these big truths in Scripture, our emotions and feelings need to be engaged, as well as our thinking and understanding, as well as the technical side of our brain. Our emotional side of our brain needs to be engaged as well. It's helpful if it is. To remain in Jesus means that God's love is present in you and me. In other words, we can love like Jesus loves. That's ridiculous, but it's true. It sounds impossible, but it's true. And we need to remind ourselves that Jesus loves us unconditionally, without judgment, and without any need for us to love him back. What type of love can that be? We know that there's no greater love. We all have moments when it's difficult to love. Of course we do. We even have times when it's difficult to show love to God. But it's in these times when we need to rely on God, to just stay close, to remain. One of our most well-known hymns, Abide With Me. The writer uses poetic language to help us see where we need to remain. You would know the words, I'm sure. The words that stand out to me is, when other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. There's nowhere else to go. And those helpers will flee, but we can remain in Jesus. Abide with me indeed. In verse 9 of our reading, Jesus said, now remain in my love. That means all the time. That means always. Not to drift in and out. Not just when we feel like it. But always remain in me. So what about joy? One strapline says, happiness is fickle, but joy sticks. Jesus wanted his disciples to understand what real joy meant for them. Jesus said, I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Here he was, about to be arrested. And what was on his mind, what was concerning Jesus, was the joy of his disciples. And of course, that includes us. And for us, sometimes joy is difficult to find. Often it's hidden away, deep inside in here somewhere. Nobody else can see that we have it. We don't want to really dwell that, yes, it's there, but oh, I don't know. It's difficult to find. We may even find that joyful things seem to be what other people have, but not what we have. We sometimes feel anything but joyful. Living a life that is joyful runs right through our Bibles, runs right through Scripture. And if you're interested in facts and figures, there are 430 explanations around the word joy. If we had time this morning, I could go around with the mic and we could say what verse of Scripture we like that shows us what the whole business of joy is about. But the most quoted is probably, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." As written in the time of Nehemiah and Ezra. We've no time for a proper look of that time in our history, but a quick reminder from Nehemiah chapter 8. The people in Israel were living in a time of conflict. Life was very hard. Fear had got a hold of everyone. We all know what happens when fear gets a hold. We can't do a thing. And at that time, Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, was nearly abandoned. People were going into hiding. Hope of turning things round was rapidly fading. And along came Nehemiah. He gathered the people together and he read out loud the books of Moses, the books of the law. And he encouraged everyone to trust God's law, to read it for themselves, to hang on to God's law, to live it out, as we say today. Then the hardships and troubles can be worked through. And then joy will return. And our simple truth for us today is that when we live according to God's law, a joyful life is ours. Joy will return. Not just any old earthly joy that's here one minute and gone the next, and whatever our fancy is at that moment. Not that kind of joy, but the joy of the Lord is what we should seek. Jesus chose you and me to bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And he goes on, he promised that God will give us whatever we need to bear fruit. To tell people how much Jesus loves them. How are you and me telling the people that we know about Jesus? How far down is the joy of the Lord? Is it in our face or is it deep inside? The joy of the Lord. If the joy of the Lord is overflowing from us in easy times and hard times, it's there to be seen, it's there for all to see. When Jesus remains in us, we can't help but be joyful in all things. We can't help but bear fruit that brings everyone closer to God. The joy of the Lord is never hidden. It's in plain sight for us all to see, for us all to see in each other. Jesus chose us to bear fruit, to be joyful, and the joy of the Lord is our strength today and always. Amen.